Talk to a doctor or listen to health professionals on talk shows, and the key message is to maintain a healthy diet. That means buying plenty of fruits and vegetables, but it is challenging to stock your refrigerator and cupboards with healthy food, especially on a tight budget. Blend in messages about the value, or lack thereof, of eating organic, using supplements, and following the latest health wave, like a gluten-free diet, and it all gets a little bit confusing. So here to help us through some of these issues is Mary Saucier-Choate. She's the food and nutrition educator for the co-op food stores of Hanover, Lebanon, and White River Junction. Mary, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with the basics of nutrition. What are the most important elements to eating healthily?
I would definitely say getting in whole foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
We hear a lot of advertisements that say made with whole grains, and it would suggest to you that that product is healthy, but whole grains can still contain a lot of bad things if it's a product that's, you know, fatty and sugary.
Well, whole grains that are just the whole grain, of course, are fine. They have naturally occurring oils in them. But you're right, made with is the key red flag to look for. If it says made with, they may have put in a little bit of whole grain or a lot. So what I encourage folks to do is when they're looking at a label to look for 100% whole grain or 100% whole wheat or whatever the grain is. That's the easy way. But if it doesn't say that, if it says like multigrain or 12 grain, to go ahead and look at the ingredient label, because they want to look for the word whole and they want that whole grain to be the first ingredient on the ingredient label.
And generally, I mean, if you're looking at a fruit or a vegetable or a product that is just the grain itself, then you know exactly what you're getting. So that's a good place to start.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Getting the whole food, like an apple or a banana.
Right.
Of course, you know that's what you're getting. The less processing, the better. Although, you know, you don't have to only eat whole grains, you know, as whole grains. Certainly eating breads are fine as long as they're made, you know, with simple ingredients, you know, water, yeast, salt, whole grain are good. Good ones to shoot for.
When people talk about eating fruits and vegetables, that's obviously very important. And you think about buying those things, and often they're very expensive, especially if you start to get into organic products or sometimes local products, which you may want to buy either for health reasons because you know where they're coming from or to support your local growers. They can also sometimes be expensive. So how do you stay healthy on a tight budget?
That's such a great question, Jane, and I want to sort of refer to what you said at the beginning. If you think you have to buy all organic or you have to include supplements, if that's where you're starting from, then of course there's no way you can do that on a tight budget. So I would say hold off on the supplements and try to get your nutrition from whole foods where they're generally much more effective nutrients when they're coming from a whole food than from an isolated supplement. And as far as organic and local, which are great things to support, even the Environmental Working Group, which puts out their list of like 10 things to buy organic and 10 things never to buy conventional, even they say right on their webpage now, they say it's better to eat fruits and vegetables and plenty of them than to eat organic only, because the benefits of eating fruits and vegetables are so deep and broad. Then when they look at, you know, populations of people who are eating the most fruits and vegetables, those are the ones who have the lesser risk of heart disease and cancer and all sorts of chronic diseases, whether or not they're organic. But of course, organic is great for supporting the environment. And when you can afford it, that's really good. And, you know, if you just watch the prices, you can see things on sale. I've seen organic carrots cheaper than regular conventional carrots. So, but you have to watch for those sales.
Can you still get all the nutrients you need from fruits and vegetables if you're buying canned fruits and vegetables? Often those are really cheap options.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's another thing that's a misconception. People think, oh, my God, I have to eat fresh all the time. I don't have time. I don't have the skills to do fresh all the time. And it's definitely a mixture is the way to go for a healthy diet and for a healthy budget. Canned vegetables, when you cook a vegetable, so canned are already cooked, you are able to better absorb some of the beta carotenes and fat-soluble nutrients that are released because the cell walls are sort of broken down. So some nutrients are more available to you from canned than from fresh. And some nutrients are more available from fresh, like vitamin C. You lose some vitamin C, not all of it, but you lose some when you cook a vegetable and a fruit. So it's a good idea to mix it up. And when they look at them side by side, fresh, canned, and frozen, the nutrients are very comparable. So it's a good idea and for your budget to mix those things up.
So if you're busy and you think, well, I don't have a lot of vegetables, but I've got these, you know, frozen peas in the refrigerator, you don't have to feel bad about that, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, it's such a helpful thing to have frozen and canned when you're on a budget, if you're busy, because it's an easy way to get these fruits and vegetables in that are so important.
You know, that seems so obvious, Mary. I mean, a vegetable's a vegetable. And when you talk about the science that's been done to lay them side by side. But I think there is often some guilt that you feel like you should be eating fresh and you should be eating local. And we hear a lot about the value of cooking food, you know, cooking it yourself. And so there does seem to, I don't know, it almost feels like cheating sometimes if you're just taking something frozen out of the freezer.
The way to make it all happen, and you know, there are certainly people who are unbelievable chefs and they have it down to a science and they can start fresh and have a meal on the table in 30 minutes. But for most of us, you know, you got kids running around, you got commitments, you're very short on time. It's a way to mix it up. So what I'm thinking is some fresh, some canned, some frozen, however it works for your meal that night. For example, making a pizza, and you know, you could get fresh tomatoes and make sauce for that pizza that night. But most people are like, no. So you get a jar of, you know, tomato sauce and get some frozen vegetables, zap them, put them on the pizza, you know, get some cheese. You know, grating it yourself is cheaper, but if you get grated cheese, you know, throw that on, it's still going to be a cheaper pizza and healthier than one you would buy somewhere else. Because you can get a whole grain crust, you can get low sodium or lower sodium tomato sauce. You see what I'm saying? It's even when you use some convenience foods like the grated cheese, it's still going to be not a $14 pizza if you're doing like a whole grain crust and the things we talked about.
Mm-hmm. And maybe not a 1,400 calorie meal.
Right. And high sodium. Right. You can definitely control the health of your meal when you cook at home. I'm a huge promoter of cooking at least sometimes at home because of those reasons. But I feel so strongly about this is that I developed a class series called Extreme Beginner Cooking Class because I think the thing that's missing is people don't know how to cook. They don't feel comfortable cooking, and so they don't. Mm-hmm. And so I've developed a series of Extreme Beginner Cooking Classes, assuming that you don't know anything about cooking and you're just starting. So they're really easy recipes using, you know, one is focused on things to do with vegetables, you know, things to do with pasta and grains, and these are all whole grains. You know, things to do with less expensive meat, poultry, fish, and so on. You know, so people, if they took the whole series, they'll leave there with a huge palette of ideas on how to eat cheaply on a budget.
Let's talk a little bit about supplements. They've come under fire recently, most recently because of missing or harmful ingredients. In some cases, what was advertised on the bottle, there was none of that in the bottle at all. So what's going on there? Is there a place for supplements in a healthy diet or should people avoid them?
You know, the jury is still out on that. Supplements have a place for certain people under certain conditions. Like if you say you just hate dairy products or you can't tolerate dairy products and you know, dairy in our country is like the best way to get calcium and the easiest way. But if you can't tolerate that, then, you know, you can certainly look for calcium fortified foods and, you know, make up the difference with a supplement. Up here where we live, where there's not a lot of sunlight that activates the vitamin D in our skin during most of the year, you know, maybe a vitamin D supplement might be warranted if you're not able to get out in the sun or you just don't get out in the sun during the summer.
Well, what about something like a multivitamin?
Yeah, multivitamins can be helpful. They can also be fake insurance because a lot of folks think, now, would you think if you took a multivitamin that said complete or something like that, that you would be getting all the calcium you needed? Wouldn't you? I mean, most people would.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Calcium is too big a vitamin to fit, a mineral to fit into a multivitamin. It would be huge. You'd never be able to choke it down. So, so a lot of times that's kind of misleading. And then a lot of multis might have iron that some people want to avoid. You know, some people retain too much iron. Postmenopausal women aren't losing iron, so they don't need as much iron. So it's I guess the big thing is, I guess if you knew that you weren't eating certain foods that you needed, a multivitamin might help. But it's not a replacement because even when they say, oh, this has like 10 servings of fruit in it or whatever they say about certain multivitamins, there's no way because there's fiber in fruit. There are phytochemicals. These are compounds in fruits and vegetables and plant foods that are known to be beneficial that they are still discovering. So there's no way they can put all that fiber and all these other things in a pill. Number one, because like the fiber would be too big, and the phytochemicals, they haven't discovered them all yet. So there's no substituting real food, I guess is what I'm saying. A multivitamin could be like a little supplement like it's supposed to be if you wanted, but it is possible to get everything you need pretty much from foods. I mean, there are some exceptions, like I said, with calcium if you're not eating it. People over 50, it's recommended that they take a B12 supplement or get it from fortified foods because a good portion of adults have something called achloridia, so they're not producing enough stomach acid to break the B12 from the protein that it's generally bound to. B12 comes from animal foods. Mm-hmm. So then those, most of us should be taking a B12 supplement or getting it from fortified foods, which is easy to do. A lot of foods, a lot of cereals and stuff have B12 added to it.
Mary Saucier-Choate is the food and nutrition educator for the co-op food stores of Hanover, Lebanon, and White River Junction. Mary, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks so much, Jane.